Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt. And
today we're discussing Christmas shopping starting now, rental scams, and no vax penalties.
Right, Joel, this is our Friday flight. Every week we look over the different stories and we want to see how they pertain to our money. That's what we're going to do again this Friday, like we do every Friday flight. But man, first, how are things going?
Yeah, I'm good, dude. Having a great day.
Doing all right. I wanted to ask too, because Emily, she's been taking her classes now for a couple weeks. How's that been working out for y'all?
It has been great. She's really enjoying it. She's always been interested. I think I mentioned on a recent episode, she's going back to graduate school to become a licensed therapist. And it's something that she's kind of always wanted to pursue. Mm-hmm. And now was the right time to go about it. And so she's been taking classes now for just, I don't know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks. And it's been a joy. For sure.
Awesome.
So, I will say, on that note, Matt, she had to get a bunch of books for class.
And like you do.
I was trying to save as much money as possible, as I do.
Like you do, yes.
on those books. And one of the places I turned to was eBay to buy some used books for really cheap. But another thing I wanted to mention for anybody out there who's, some kids are probably right now trying to buy books for as classes begin. Mm-hmm. And consider renting a book instead of buying it. That was one particularly expensive textbook that Emily needed. We checked a couple of different websites. Amazon turned out to be the lowest price, but it was $31 to rent the book for the semester, or I could have paid $106 to buy it. And it just made a whole lot of sense to rent it instead. It wasn't one of those books that Emily felt like she was going to need after the class was over. And so, yeah, for some folks, renting textbooks just is going to be a whole lot better of an idea. And I just kind of want to put that out there. It can be money saving because textbooks are expensive.
And plus, I feel like oftentimes when you get expensive textbooks like that, you sink a lot of money into it. And you think at the end of the class, you're like, oh, I should hang on to this one. This one was one of those expensive ones. There must be valuable information in there that I will refer to in the future.
Right.
And then you never do. But you always feel bad about actually selling it for, you know, pennies on the dollar. I think renting it is definitely a smart way to go.
Yeah. So for sure, there's multiple websites where you can rent textbooks. Amazon, Chegg is another one. But I will say, after looking around, at least on that book, but on a few others that we looked at, it seemed like the Amazon terms were better and the prices were better. So yeah, make sure you do your research, but renting instead of buying often works.
Very nice, dude. All right, let's go ahead and get to our Friday flight. Let's talk about some rising prices. And for once, we're actually not going to refer to inflation. We're going to talk about credit cards because there is some new evidence out that shows that it's actually getting more expensive when you pay with a credit card. The Wall Street Journal had an article discussing why this is. The number of retailers that are charging more to accept a credit card has more than doubled in the last 5 years. So for instance, you might pay, say, just an extra 50 cents to use your card the next time you stop to maybe grab some ice cream at your local favorite spot. Or the reverse actually might happen, and you might be able to score a discount for paying with cash, which I never do. Unfortunately, that would be one area where I wouldn't get that discount.
I don't carry cash on me most of the time, and I might need to begin carrying more
honestly,
on me.
Honestly, it does make me consider keeping, like, I always keep that spare 20, but that's like for emergencies,
yeah.
You know, but like it makes me want to keep some money like in the wallet for just regular expenses as well. But for some small businesses, just this very act of not continuing to absorb the fees, but passing those, you know, those costs on to consumers, that's going to mean tens of thousands of dollars in savings each year for those businesses. The different credit card companies out there make a killing when it comes to those interchange fees that they charge businesses.
That is true. And our listeners, they might be saying, I bet Matt and Joel, they're against businesses charging these fees, aren't they? Aren't they? No, we're not. We're not. Because, you know, again, like what Matt, you just said, there's a lot of money at stake for these small businesses. And the idea that they're passing on costs like that to their customers makes sense to me. I'm okay with it. So our recommendation is to be aware that this might be happening at a local shop near you, or sometimes even more a bigger business near you. So it's important to be flexible. If the surcharge isn't worth the rewards, consider paying with a debit card instead. We prefer credit cards, right? But that's only...
For multiple reasons.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, but not necessarily if you're going to be charged more.
Right.
Credit cards are our favorite method for making purchases. We talked about that not too long ago, maybe just like a month ago on the show. The rewards you can achieve by using a credit card are great. For example, though, Matt, let's say at the grocery store they wanted to charge me a 2.5% fee. I would gladly pay that fee, actually, because the rewards I get back on my Amex Blue Cash Preferred are 6% at the grocery
6%,
store.
6%, baby!
So in that case, it's a nice little swing.
Yeah.
But I might actually avoid the same surcharge at a place where my rewards are capped at like 2%. And yeah, we actually just posted a new article on the website about the exact credit cards that you and I use. We'll link to that in the show notes, but it's a little peek inside of our wallets.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and a little preview, the Blue Cash Preferred, that's actually one that you and I both love.
Yeah, that's
very
one,
much.
The one card that overlaps is actually that one.
Well, let's go ahead and move on. We want to warn all of our listeners out there to watch out, because there is a preponderance right now of rental scams these days. We talked recently about the increased demand that's happening in the rental market. That's leading to higher prices, but it's also leading to an increase in criminal activity. Anytime there's more money, more activity leading towards an industry or a business, there are always going to be criminals who are looking to make a buck as well. There's actually a story from one of our local TV stations, and they documented a rise of fake rental listings, which are stealing thousands of dollars from unsuspecting victims. And these criminals, man, they're preying on your time-sensitive need to find a place. And the fact that they list the place for quite a bit cheaper than, you know, what most of the other units in the area, that fuels the fire for you to sign the lease to get into the home. There's always this sense of urgency. They're making it sound like, hey, this house is underpriced. It's not going to last soon. Get your deposit in, and that will ensure that this place is reserved just for you.
Yeah, let's say the average price of a rental is $1,500 where you live, and this one's listed at $950, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to jump. I got to put the security deposit down immediately. Well, if it's priced that low, there's a good chance you're going to get taken advantage of.
Right.
And you're going to have some of your money stolen from you. And it turns out that the person who creates this listing with the nice pictures, and they upload it to Craigslist or Zillow or wherever they post it, most of the time Craigslist, they're not even the owner of that house. They've just copied pics from another rental or sale listing, and then they pop up that ad on Craigslist. It takes all of 3 minutes to do that, and then they're hoping to make thousands from your mistake. And so, yeah.
It only takes 3 minutes.
Right.
You, our listener, you could do that right now.
Please
but,
don't.
But don't.
It's illegal and morally ridiculous.
Yes.
So one of the key tips is when they ask for a security deposit via a wire or money transfer, or if they ask you to pay it in cash. Basically, whenever they want you to pay in a way that can't be traced, it's a bad sign. And so we suggest always meet the landlord in person at the house, take a tour, and always make sure you sign a lease. That's one of those things too, where if they're like, I don't have the lease ready, but if you hand me the security deposit now, it ensures that that this is the house you're going to live in. There's just so many red flags when they're unwilling to meet you, when they're unwilling to show you the house, when they don't make you sign a lease. And yeah, you got to protect yourself, because these rental scams are on the rise right now.
Yeah, well, and the new twist here specifically in Atlanta is that some of these applicants are actually getting keys to the place because the lockboxes are accessible via, like, it's a self-touring lockbox, essentially. And so you could upload your ID, and as long as, I guess, you're not a criminal or something like that, like, you are able to get a key. But the applicants think that they are getting the keys to the place because they have paid a deposit to somebody else. And so in one case, there was a guy who had actually moved into the place before the realtor who had actually had the real listing showed up and knocked on the door, and there's like a bunch of furniture in there. There's a guy in there. There's like, what's going on? Because let's be honest, having to move twice, not only did he lose his money from the deposit and he didn't actually have a place, but having to move all of your stuff again. I mean, that's just like kicking you while you're down.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why you always need to meet the landlord in person. Yeah. That's a really important part of it.
That's right. Joe, let's shift gears. Let's talk about some of the shipping delays that we've seen. How would you feel if you had your kids crying on Christmas morning because they... Because you didn't get them a gift that they wanted.
Sounds like my kids every other morning, Matt.
Well, if you want to avoid that specifically for actual Christmas, you can do that by starting to shop now because supply chain issues, they've been a massive problem, disrupting our economy for over a year now. And while it has gotten better in some instances, in some industries, not all of the problems have been fixed. There were articles in all the different major newspapers this week discussing those lingering supply chain issues, the different shipping delays and the headaches that both businesses, but us as consumers, that we've realized and that we're feeling as a result. Some reports are coming out that there will be a shortage of toys this Christmas as these issues persist. And naturally, they're predicting that the toys that will make it to the shelves are actually going to cost more. Again, this is kind of partly due to COVID shutdowns and the increased cost of shipping those toys stateside.
Yeah, I've seen just some of the stats on what some of these businesses are having to pay just to get their container on a ship to be sent over to the States. And it's increased dramatically. It used to cost like $6,000 or $7,000 per container. And now it's like sometimes $20,000, $25,000 to get your container loaded on the ship to come over. It's crazy.
It's insane.
And of course, they've got to pass those costs on to us.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I know we're talking about Christmas and it's only August. Pumpkin spice lattes, they only came out this week. We don't need to be talking about Christmas just yet.
And really, they shouldn't have even come out yet. Let's be honest. It's still August.
It's about to be September. But it's important to mention that this year is going to be an odd one. And it's always kind of financially advantageous to not wait until the last minute to do your Christmas shopping. But we're just saying that it's going to be even more helpful to be the early bird this year.
Yes. You basically always pay more when you wait until the last minute, right? If you're a December 23rd shopper, you're used to paying high prices for Christmas presents because you waited too long. And it might sound crazy, but we would say to start formulating a list now for the people that you love that you plan on buying presents for, and then be ready to pounce when you see a decent deal on an item that's on their list, something that they want. It'll mean that you're able to save money and gain some peace of mind by having your shopping done earlier than anyone else around you. And you'll also avoid that sinking feeling in December that if a lot of the top gift items on your list are actually sold out.
Well, do you have any predictions as to what the top gift items are going to be for kids?
I think Tickle Me Elmos are coming back. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea what the top gifts are going to be.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I know what my kids like, and I'm going to be on the lookout now for some of those things just so that I can get that shopping done early, have it off my mind, and not be worried about these shipping delays impacting my ability to get them cool stuff.
Yeah, forget Tickle Me Elmo. We got to jump on that Bluey merch. Our kids love Bluey. If any parents out there haven't watched Bluey yet, we highly recommend it.
Probably the best kid show on television.
It is so freaking
and
good.
And if they're watching it, I'll sit down and watch it too.
Yeah. And season 2 came out over the summer. It's been a great show for us.
Yeah. And I would say, one other thing, Matt, that people should consider is making Christmas a little less gift-centric. Like maybe opt for an experience instead.
Yeah.
And especially right now when you're going to pay more, it's going to be harder to find these gifts and you're going to be maybe beating your head against a wall to get all the presents you want under the tree, maybe fewer presents, and then throw an experience in there on top of it, and you've got Christmas shopping nipped in the bud without all the hassle.
That's a great idea, dude. I love it. It really is getting tiring to hear about these supply chain disruptions, and it is having real world impacts on pretty much everyone at this point. And segue, speaking of fatigue, let's talk about subscription fatigue. It feels like we're paying for virtually everything with those small monthly subscription costs, ranging from something as small that we pay for like iCloud or paying for Google storage to something pretty huge as car manufacturers are even kind of getting into at this point. So for instance, Tesla, they're now offering access to self-driving technology for $200 a month instead of for that upfront price tag of $10,000. But man, the worst thing that we saw was that BMW, they're plotting to sell a subscription for heated seats, which is completely insane.
I don't even know how that works.
It's like they're holding your car hostage. It's like, oh, you want all these sweet perks? Yeah, cough it up.
You forgot to pay the heated seat bill this month. We're turning that off. That's definitely one of the most nutso things I've heard.
Your partner's sitting over there in the seat and they're like, hey, why isn't my seat hot anymore? Did you forget to pay the seat heating bill?
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous. And I think one of the pros of subscriptions, Matt, it can seem like you're saving money, but that's not always the case. You're just kind of breaking up those payments. And often when you add up the costs over time, you're still getting hosed by choosing to do a subscription model as opposed to paying all at once up front.
Yeah.
When you look at that Tesla thing, that's 4 years that you'd you'd have that paid off. And so it would make more sense to pay it off up front instead of opting for the monthly subscription fee.
Right. However, I do see, I guess, a slight advantage to where that might pan out. And so imagine you're like, well, I don't really want to do the self-driving thing. But if there's going to be a season in your life, maybe this fall, you're thinking, I'm going to do a lot of driving this fall, and it would be really nice to be able to unlock that feature. I mean, what if you paid for that subscription for just a couple months?
That's true.
Used it a bunch, and then the rest of the time you're just using your car just to, you know, get to the grocery store or run errands around town. In my mind, that actually makes sense because it allows you to be a little more strategic or a little more selective of the services you use, right?
Or if you only pay for those heated seats in December and January.
Boom,
yeah,
there you go.
And you're not paying for them every month out of the year.
Exactly.
Okay, maybe that is a reason to do it.
Yeah, like, so this is actually kind of why I see this as not only a benefit to that you're not having to pay a bunch of money up front, but if it allows you to be a little more shrewd with your usage of that product, I kind of like that aspect of it. It actually makes me think of a recent example with my dad. He had been avoiding upgrading the OS on his Mac because he was holding on to some legacy old school software, like his Microsoft Excel package or whatever.
Same thing you went through recently.
Yeah, exactly. We're cut from the same cloth. And also with Adobe Audition, he had an old version that he had purchased a long time ago for hundreds of dollars. You know, I mean, that software is expensive. And he knew once he upgraded, he wasn't going to be able to use any of that software anymore. And he didn't want to have to pay for the subscription cost. But what I, you know, in talking with him, I was like, well, how often do you actually use Adobe Audition? He's like, well, you know, rarely. He's like, but when I, it's great having it because when I use it a bunch. And I was like, well, that's actually when the subscription might work out to your favor, because if you know you're going to use it a bunch one month and you're just paying $30 for access to the latest, greatest software with the newest features, you might actually kind of come out ahead in that instance. And so for him, that was a way that it did make more sense.
Yeah.
But I agree. We have to be careful of absorbing these costs into our monthly budget, right? Especially once you set up these auto pay billing, like on your credit card.
You like, just set it and forget
dude,
it.
Dude, you do not feel it. We have like that psychological inertia that keeps us from wanting to like nip it in the bud. And so for all those folks, just across the board, we would recommend for everyone out there to just reevaluate your spending, whether that's on an annual basis or like on a monthly basis. I mean, that's a part of why I like tracking our spending like we do, because it allows me to see everything that we're spending our money on. Allows us to catch any little mistakes early on before they kind of compound month to month. But we want to make sure that we're spending our money on things that we actually value, things that are bringing joy and happiness to our lives, whether it is service or products. Don't let those subscriptions continue if you're not getting any value from them.
Yeah, they're not inherently evil or inherently bad, but and they can be good. You just have to use them judiciously.
Yes.
And we're just being inundated with subscriptions these days for everything. Nobody wants you to pay up front. They want you to pay every single month in order to buy something. And so we just have to be careful and not allow too many subscriptions into our lives and cancel some of the ones that we're not using anymore, that's for sure.
Totally. Right,
we've got more to get to, Matt, including the biggest signing bonus I've ever heard of, and then what vaccine mandates, how those are actually affecting our wallet and our money. We'll get to that and more right after this break. All right, we are back from the break. It's our Friday flight. We've got more stories to cover and how those pertain to your personal finances. The first story we get to after the break every week is the ludicrous headline
of the week. And I said that in a normal voice because I was thinking about a weird voice, but instead I was thinking about the fact that we call this the ludicrous headline of the week, and we were just talking about Tesla right before the break.
Ludicrous mode, right?
Ludicrous mode, exactly. What if we reached out to Elon Musk and we were able to get him to sponsor this segment, the ludicrous headline of the week? What do you think?
I'll tweet him later and see what he says.
So I know you're joking, but for real, I think we should, or I will, because I feel like that's the kind of ridiculous thing, that's the ludicrous kind of thing that he would see and be like, oh yeah, why not? Maybe I'll donate a couple Teslas to those two dudes. And then we can try out the self-driving mode, and I will let folks know whether it makes more sense to do the self-driving subscription or pay for it upfront.
All right, if you get us Teslas, dude, that'd be sweet. I'd be in. All right, well, this week's ludicrous headline comes from Real Simple Magazine. It's not a magazine I subscribe to, but listener Jeremy emailed us this one this week, and the headline was, "Do you really need a 401k to retire? People over 50 without one weigh in." And I thought that was an interesting question. I was curious to see the advice. But it turns out, Matt, most folks do need a 401k or similar tax advantage accounts to really help them invest for the future. There were some really, really bad suggestions in this piece from folks who decided not to go that route. You know, one person chose gold and silver bullion as one of her main investing methods. Some folks decided to just sock money away in a savings account. We've talked about...
Did anybody like mention just like putting it in the sock drawer? Like, how about that?
No one said that. No one said under the mattress, but just a savings account, right? Which we know how horrific that can be when it comes to the earnings, especially when you're talking about long-term money that you want to have. When you're at past the age of 50, when you're getting close to retirement age, someone else said a whole life policy was the best way to save for retirement. One other person mentioned tapping Social Security earlier. It's like, hey, as long as I can just make it to 62, I can tap Social Security, and that's how I'm going to fund retirement. But none of these methods comes even close to what putting your money in index funds inside of a 401k can do for your future. And most of those, pretty much all of those things, come with significant downsides. So I'm not going to really, you know, address each one and how awful it is, but every single one of those is pretty bad.
All those options that you just mentioned, we would not recommend. Dude, the line that got me at the beginning was that many people believe that it's time to ditch the 401k. Really? Like who are all of these people that say we should get rid of the 401k, like the most popular, most widespread retirement account out there?
It's like when people say, well, folks are saying, it's like, well, who are those folks? Like, tell me who. Who's saying this should 401k?
Seriously, well, because as pensions have become like mostly non-existent, the 401k with an employer match has become the easiest way to build wealth for the future for most Americans out there. But even though there was some really bad advice in this article, they did offer some, you know, reasonable stuff. It wasn't only just off the wall stuff that they were recommending. At least IRAs, individual retirement accounts, they were mentioned here. Lots of people don't have access to a 401k, right? And so if that's the case, then taking advantage of those other tax-advantaged accounts is crucial. Someone else, they mentioned HSAs. Those are also awesome and come with like the most tax-advantaged abilities out there, even more than an IRA or a 401k.
The one problem with HSAs is that it's hard to get enough money into an HSA, and you have to have the right plan to be able to take advantage of it. But I agree, that's another great option for retirement savings.
Exactly. Yeah, you're limited to a few thousand dollars versus $19,500 that you can put into a 401k. And there is another who mentioned rental properties. We really like that route for many folks. And we actually literally just talked about this on Wednesday. But the question posed in the article was, do you really need a 401k to retire? And so when you look at the percentage of Americans who have one of them, which is only 59%, who have access to a 401k, the answer is actually no. Like, you don't need to have a 401k in order to retire, but they're still the most popular and most widely used account. And that's for a good reason.
No doubt. So there was some bad advice in that article, and there was also some 401k hating, which I don't like to see, because we think 401ks
are great.
Yes. And much better than putting all your money in gold. Matt, let's talk about jobs for a second. Would you like $20,000?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So I've got a new job for you then. It turns out that there is a severe shortage of truck drivers in our country right now. I'm not sure if you've been reading about that, but those self-driving trucks that Elon Musk has been promising us, well, they seem to still be a ways off. So
we can't hate on him while also asking for him to sponsor a segment in the show.
He's going to be like, wait a second, I kept listening and then you guys trashed me for not having self-driving trucks ready. So no Tesla for you. But there's a trucking company, Cowan Systems, offering a $20,000 signing bonus to lure new drivers. So are you going to take the gig? Are you going to quit podcasting and start driving cross country?
I mean, if I had whatever license you need to get in order to drive like a big rig.
CDL, I think.
CDL. I mean, I think for anybody out there who is maybe getting ready to like retire from that industry because maybe they saw the headlines of like the self-driving trucks on the way and they're like, all right, time for me to get out of the game. They might want to extend it another 6 months at least, because I was reading the article and the COO of that company, he said that you would get half of that sign-up bonus within 6 months of coming on board, which is amazing. And you can actually get the full bonus only by working 18 months. And so I don't know, like I know, you know, drivers don't make a ton of money, but when you're talking about a 5-digit hiring bonus like that, man, it's got to make you reconsider things. In my mind, I have set what I want my life to look like, right? And anything that kind of falls outside of that realm, I'm less interested in those things.
Like driving huge loads of things across the country?
Yeah, well, right now, I'm podcasting with you. but it makes me not even want to consider it. But I guess we wanted to mention the story because we want folks to think about the different opportunities that we're faced with, whether it's on the earning side of the equation or whether it's on the spending side, right? So on the earning side, hey, a $20,000 bonus, that is worth considering. Doesn't mean you should completely, you know, quit law school or pull out of residency at the hospital. But if that's something you're already interested in, maybe you should be looking at this company instead. Or even on like the saving money side of things, right? And Joel, I feel like you did a really good job with this, but like being able to pounce on sales or deals and stock up, and you know what? Peanut butter's on sale at Costco. We got six of them now. We got 6 gallons of peanut butter in the pantry.
They don't come in gallon sizes there. That'd be a lot of peanut butter.
It's like barrels, basically. You can buy like a pallet of peanut butter for like $5,000.
You can buy pallets of things, and it's so weird to see.
But it'll last you your entire life. But it's just a good way of approaching some of the different opportunities in our lives. We want folks to be open-minded when it comes to possibly changing what our lives look like a little
bit. Exactly. And just be on the lookout in general for signing bonuses, because that can make the difference between which company you decide to apply with, which company you decide to take a job with. We're just going to see, I think, more and more of these signing bonuses popping up, especially in industries where they need people to fill a bunch of roles. And yeah, Matt, let's move on though. Let's keep talking about jobs, but let's talk about vaccine mandates and the impact that they're having right now. It's not just happening with places like music venues. I know some of my favorite musicians are saying you can't come to the show unless you provide proof of vaccination, and it's actually happening like where you work, and these new mandates can massively impact your finances because your job, your livelihood can be tied to it. Just this week, actually, Disney reached a deal with the employee union to mandate vaccines. They already had mandates in place for non-union employees. CVS and Deloitte, two other giant employers, they're taking similar measures. And CVS employees need to be fully vaccinated by Halloween. Delta just announced, Delta Airlines, that it's charging non-vaccinated employees more for health insurance. And it's also suspending pay protection for non-vaccinated folks who end up getting COVID and being sidelined. And since the FDA gave the Pfizer vaccine full approval this week, we're likely to see more of these mandates springing up. Like, this is only the beginning. And Matt and I, we're fully vaccinated. We encourage everyone who can get vaccinated to make it happen. It's good for your health and the health of your community and your loved ones. But we're also big fans of the freedom to choose for individuals and for these private companies. Individuals, they have the right not to get a jab if they don't want to. And employers also have the right to require them to do so. And we're at this standoff. And this standoff is going to result, I think, Matt, in some people having to move on and find another place of employment. And if you are one of those people who decides not to get vaccinated, well, yeah, you're going to have to be prepared to suffer those consequences.
Exactly. Yeah, heads up. There could definitely be some financial consequences. We're going to see that impact a lot of people's earning potential. And specifically, man, for Delta employees, like Delta Airlines, not like the Delta variant, that means paying more for healthcare, specifically $200 a month, to be exact. There are some outstanding legal questions with this new policy, so we'll see if there are any challenges on that front. And the other thing, man, we sure hope that this means that Delta is also looking for other ways to ensure that their employees are being healthy, like incentivizing them to lose weight and to go in for regular checkups, right?
Or to help them quit smoking if they are still one of those kind of
folks. Exactly, yeah. Because these are bonuses or, you know, ways that they can decrease the cost for folks. I mean, I hope that they're able to provide not only sticks for folks that aren't doing the actions that they want, but that they're able to provide carrots for those who are going to kind of go through with some of those actions. But here's the thing as well. For those who choose not to get vaccinated, these vaccine mandates, like, that might mean that you end up looking for a new job, or you're going to at least realize some penalties in your life. We're bound to see more of these types of policies in the coming weeks. And so realize that this could impact the amount of money you've got in the bank.
No doubt. All right. On a bit of a lighter note, when it comes to employment, Matt, there was kind of a fun article this week about video resumes, and apparently they're becoming more helpful and more necessary in today's job market. More employers are asking that you send in a video resume these days instead of a paper one or in addition to a paper one. And I think that's kind of awesome, because I think a video resume, it doesn't have to be incredibly polished, although some people are making really, really funny polished ones, but it can showcase your personality and your creativity. So I just wanted to mention to listeners, if you're looking for work and you're hearing crickets with the traditional resume and the cover letter that you're sending to, you know, places that you want to work, think about creating a sweet video resume and sending that along as well. That can help you kind of stand out to a potential employer. And we're actually going to talk more about landing a job that you love on Monday with career expert Ashley Stahl. So make sure you're subscribed to the show so that you get that one in your podcatcher. She's awesome.
Yeah, and you can always do the classic put the resume in the box of donuts tactic and pretend that you're a DoorDash delivery person.
I think it's called stalking. I don't know if that's no, allowed.
I saw somebody actually do this like last year, and I think they inspired other folks to do that, but there's always that option. And if you happen to do that and it worked out, we would love to hear from you. Please let us know, because I love non-traditional funny stories like that.
Yeah, sometimes you got to think outside the box to impress the person that, you know, if you really want a job someplace, find a way to, yeah, make yourself stand out, because everybody else is doing the same thing. If you do stuff a little bit differently, it can make you a more appealing candidate.
Yeah, outside of the box or inside of the donut box. all right, we hope everyone has a good weekend. Unite and conquer to all the Atlanta United fans out there. We've got a big match coming up this weekend. Joel and I were hoping to be there. You're definitely going to be there. I actually haven't talked about it with Kate yet.
Hoping to ride my bike there. Free bike valet.
Hey, if I'm going, I'll be riding with you.
Sounds good.
But yeah, we're on a 4-game winning streak right now, so knock on wood that we've been able to turn things around a little bit.
We didn't have much to brag about earlier in the season.
No, we did not.
Except for our authoritarian head coach that we had for a while, but we're done with him now. So, all right, but I hope y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. And until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.